Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, even up after 2 weeks. It's early, of course. Yesterday was strange. I mean, you know, first team ever in regulation, the Giants became, to score three or more touchdowns and not allow one and lose in regulation. But Washington had the ball seven times and didn't punt once. That's pretty damn encouraging, even though they didn't get the ball into the end zone. Ben Standig was there, and Ben Standig is with us every Monday and Friday, right here as our Washington Commanders insider. You can follow Ben on X on Twitter, at Ben Standig. You can read him in The Athletic, and you can listen to his podcast called Last Man Standig. So I'll start where I start with you on every Monday during the season. Give me your big, you know, takeaways from the win.
Yeah, you know, it's, I tweeted my story out earlier, and I used the word, I think I said they were like more fortunate than good necessarily across the board to win, but they still, you know, got it done, yada, yada, yada. And I had some people come back at me at that. And as you just said, it's the first game in history for a team to score three touchdowns, not give up any, and lose in regulation. I mean, it's a pretty weird game across the board. That said, when you, as you said, with the offense scoring every single time they had the ball, no touchdowns, but, you know, moving the ball down the field, you know, even the last two drives when they're down three and they need, you know, at least field goals to tie and then to take the lead, I didn't really feel that like, oh boy, here we go again. This isn't going to work out. I kind of felt like they would figure it out. Obviously, there was, you know, again, some fortunate moments here and there, some penalties and what have you on the Giants, but I was impressed by what the offense did. And, you know, I think leaning into the Robinson-Eckler combo is just such the obvious thing to do. And yet we have seen the obvious thing get ignored at times over the years. So I'm not just going to say, oh, well, that's, of course they should have done that. And, you know, with Daniels, you know, the first half, it felt a little bit like last week where he's maybe getting some of that, you know, jittery feet every time there was any kind of pressure. He was also getting pressured, but, you know, to be moved, but as the game went on and after he left, when he got that one hit that knocked his wind out, you know, he really started to seem a little bit more patient in the pocket, finding guys rather than just running around. So I think that's definitely encouraging for the offense. Defensively, I think, you know, look, if Graham Gano does not get hurt on the opening kickoff, right, then I don't know where this game goes. That's at least 3 points that were taken away, probably because of extra points. And just even on the Giants' last drive, they had the ball.
Yeah, 4th and 4, they kick a field goal, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, there's possibly, you know, 6 points that they get wiped out. And I know you can play the if-but game all the time. But the defense, you know, the pass rush was minimal, one sack for the second straight game. The cornerback situation is, you know, dicey to say the least. I mean, they were fortunate that Daniel Jones is, you know, what wasn't the Superman version of Daniel Jones that we've seen. Malik Nabers was kind of getting whatever he wanted. But, yeah, I mean, again, they got a win. I think it's a huge psychological win for the team, for the organization, for the fan base, regardless of where things kind of go over the next few weeks. But so there's definitely growth, but at the same time, I didn't even mention, you know, all the false start penalties in the red zone. There's still a lot of stuff they need to clean up that doesn't feel like a team that's really one to watch out for in the short term, but at the same point, you know, they got it done, and the offense definitely seemed like it took a step up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had at least a hunch that maybe offensively they'd be better than people were expecting because I was so in love with the quarterback. And so far, so good through two games. I mean, whatever. We got a long way to go. I also was really, really optimistic that the defense would be better, and it hasn't been. I mean, it was pretty bad last week, but at least there were signs, you know, Ben, that you and I talked about. First down defense was pretty good last week. They actually got some pressure. Yesterday, they got shredded in the run game. The play action, which Daniel Jones really needed, made it, you know, the run game made it so much easier. They couldn't cover Malik Nabers. I don't know how many people will be able to cover him. He is clearly looks like he's the next elite guy out there. But my God, what are they going to do personnel-wise? I mean, what can they do? Who Jamin Davis didn't play yesterday. I'm curious as to why.
Well, for him specifically, you know, we'll talk to Dan Quinn later today, and we'll see if we can get something at him on that. This is my best guess. So Cleveland Farrell popped up on the injury report on Friday, didn't practice on Friday with a knee issue. And they then the next day brought up Carlos Watkins from the practice squad, a guy who's played defensive end, veteran guy, played with Dan Quinn in Dallas. So I'm guessing they might have thought, hey, we need to have somebody there in case Farrell doesn't play. Well, he does end up playing. And now I guess they're looking at it like, well, we have to, so one of these guys has to sit. I don't know if it's just as simple as we use the move on Watkins, so let's use him, or if this is any kind of reflection on where they are with Jamin Davis. But I don't feel like you played 12 snaps the first game. I don't know how much of a difference his presence would have made, but it is interesting in light of that. You know, we're still kind of wondering where this experiment is going.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really followed your answer. Sorry, and it's probably me. But Cleveland Farrell pops up on the injury report, and they bring up Carlos Watkins instead of just leaving Davis on the active roster. What am I missing?
Well, no, they bring up Watkins on Saturday in case Farrell doesn't play on Sunday. But once Farrell is playing on Sunday, now they have to decide.
Ah, gotcha. But and they because they used the move, they wanted him active for his five snaps or whatever it was, rather than, you know, losing that move and not having him there. I got it. My fault. Yep.
That's my assumption. He also could play some defensive tackle, and with Johnny Newton being, you know, a little bit unclear what he would do. So.
Yeah. Was there any sense as to whether or not the Ballore penalties, the hold looks like a takedown and a hold on the opening kickoff, and it probably was significant in the return. What happened on the next kickoff where he was called for unsportsmanlike conduct? We never got an explanation of that on TV.
Yeah, well, so I don't know. It was kind of a weird day. We couldn't hear a lot what was going on. With whatever the refs were saying, and you know how this goes. By the time one thing happens, you're already on to the next play. So I don't really know what happened there myself. And I've been watching back some of the game, but I've been focusing on the offense so far. So I haven't gotten to that point. But by the way, like if you ran, other than getting hurt, Nick Ballore could not have had a worse first play for a new team. It's a borderline impossible to erase a 98-yard. Kickoff return for a touchdown on your very first play. Or I guess he played last week, right? Whatever. For first play on the active roster, part of the 53. Either way, yeah, not good. I mean, that seemed like such a jolt. And then the fact that it got taken away just seemed emblematic of you know, how things have been going for this organization over the years.
Yeah, but we don't know what the unsportsmanlike conduct was for.
I don't. The communication, like I said, if you guys didn't get it on TV, I mean, we didn't get anything where we were. And, you know, by the time we get downstairs after the game, that was definitely not a main priority at that point.
Okay. Back to the defense as we talked to Ben. What can they do personnel-wise? Forbes was down. He'll be down for how much longer? I mean, I think seeing Mike Davis out there was kind of an indication of why Forbes has actually continued to be out there. He's slow. Didn't tackle well, although I don't know how you're going to tackle Malik Nabers when he catches it on that hitch and puts his foot in the ground and spins out of it. But what moves do they have here defensively?
I think at corner, the only moves are to sign somebody either off of somebody else's practice squad or a free agent. I don't think there's – look, this was already an incredibly thin group. I think we've all sort of discussed how, like, the Mariota signing was maybe the one move that Adam Peters made. We were like, I don't know. But I was sort of defended it from the standpoint of, look, they had to get a backup. At that point, there weren't a lot of guys available. He was arguably the best guy. Okay. But the Mike Davis signing to me is sort of more notable in that regard, because obviously there's a lot of cornerbacks available. If they don't want to sign somebody to a big, you know, a lucrative contract, even for like a 1 year, you know, $5 to $8 million deal, okay. But there's still a lot of other guys, and Davis's career, you know, just looks like a guy who's, you know, kind of just a guy. And that they were bringing him in knowing that Forbes, there was still a lot of questions about what he would be, right? Sanders still promising. Well, I guess he came in before Sanders still, but, you know, like, even if they were going to draft a corner, it would still be a rookie. So this guy was going to, in theory, need to start, be at least a poor man's Kendall Fuller to some degree if you need somebody. And, you know, the secondary in general looked more limited as the summer went on. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I know people are up in arms over Forbes, but you're right. Davis being out there, I think, showed people why they're going with Forbes' upside over what he provides. But the reality is they don't have, you know, there's not much else they can do. All they have on their practice squad are Bobby Price, who they brought up yesterday, who basically has been more of a special teams guy, and Anousian, the undrafted free agent. So you can't think that's going to be automatically better. So there are free agents out there. I don't imagine they're going to sign anyone. But to me, it does kind of feel like, hey, you've got the cap space. This is not about trying to necessarily win this year. It's about trying to make everything else reasonable and sustainable. And if you have such a glaring weakness, it just feels like it's going to be really hard. But then on top of it, if you're not getting a pass rush, then it's going to make any holes in the secondary, even relatively minor ones, look that much bigger.
We are talking, of course, to our guy Ben Standing. So let's go back to offensively. I am going to be curious, because I do like watching it the next day, especially when the All-22 comes out, because I think there are probably plays that Jaden missed, especially in the first half, that, you know, potentially led to sacks, potentially were missed opportunities. I think Noah Brown on the double move, the stop and go, that looks like an opportunity to let that ball go early. But still so much good compared to, you know, a few of the nits to picks on things that he didn't get to. Are you know, I'm just curious, after the game, or if you've talked to anybody, what's your sense on how you think they feel he played?
Yeah, I mean, I think all things considered, I think they're pretty, you know, pretty optimistic and pretty excited for what they've seen. You know, again, this is two games now. I know he had a fumble against Tampa, but, you know, they didn't lose it. So no turnovers through two games. You know, again, in the first half, I thought he was a little too jittery. Pass rush was coming, but it seemed like that was calming down as the game went along, and he was finding some players open, you know, in space. I think, you know, again, utilizing Robinson and Eckler as runners and, you know, safety valves in the passing games is such a big deal, because right now, look, you know, they're until Terry McLaurin gets going with this new offense, you know, they've been easily the two most effective pieces that they have. And then those two combined with Zach Ertz really gives him, Jaden, you know, a lot of viable options in a relatively short range to hit on. And, you know, this opens things up to go down the field. I was just looking right before we started talking about how on the Noah Brown 34-yard catch in the game, if you look at the replay, the Giants safety, Tyler Newbin, drops down towards the box because Austin Eckler is in the game. But Eckler stays in the block, and when that happens, Newbin still is closer to the box than he is deep center, and that's where Jaden throws right over his head to Noah Brown. So, you know, to get everything, you know, sort of like we're talking about with the defense, where you're not getting the pass rush and secondary to sort of mesh right now, the run game and the passing game, I think, did much better job of that here. Again, you know, not a lot of explosive plays down the field per se, but I think it was a good sign of where things are. And again, I think Jaden Daniels, he's just been calm, he's been poised. Zacchaeus actually told a couple of us after the game that Daniels was kind of laughing, even like smiling a lot in the huddle on the final drive or two. not because of, like, you know, being goofy, but just like he takes it all in stride. You know, he's not getting overwhelmed, no matter, you know, even if he, you know, makes mistakes or something. And I just think that that's such a huge deal to have that confidence and poise. And I think, you know, the results should continue to get better as it goes along.
Any injuries out of yesterday? Yeah, out of yesterday.
Not that I know of for sure. You know, a couple guys, obviously Jaden was hit, came out for a play, said it was just getting the wind knocked out of him. Sam Cosby left briefly, came right back in. So nothing that I know of at this point. Again, we'll talk to Dan Quinn later. We'll see what he tells us about that and other things.
Tell you what, that looked like a big-time rib shot, actually. I'm glad it was just the wind getting knocked out of him. All right. Appreciate it, as always. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. At Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Read his recap of the game. All right, we'll go around the NFL. 11.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Games yesterday decided by 7 or fewer points. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.